In our current day and age, a lot of people are struggling with faith, especially even what we would call the institutional church. A lot of people want to be spiritual, they want to believe in God, but they just aren't religious. But even more than that, some people are having a hard time altogether in believing in God. Not that God is kind or gracious, but that he even exists. On the opposite side, the greatest trick of them all is for Satan to trick us into thinking that he doesn't exist either. Now, the point of our worship here is not to overspend our time about Satan. Of course, our goal is always about Jesus, and he is the focus and center of our faith. But if we ignore Satan, we're doing a disservice to ourselves and the faith that our Lord has given us. Satan is real, and this is, at times, a scary and uncomfortable subject. But the more scary aspect of these discussions through Lent is that the forces of evil don't always appear the way we think that they will. Satan loves to masquerade as an angel of light, telling us something is good when it will kill us, that will separate us from God. And he does that through the various ways of the things we've been talking about. One of them is what a word that came up in this audio clip of the Screwtape letters. The word was a trough. Raise your hand. I'm going to open it up to everybody. You ever heard of that word before, a trough? What is a trough? Anybody have an answer? A valley. A valley. That's an excellent answer. Think of a trough as a valley. A feeding trough. I grew up on a farm. I was a pig farmer. My dad's had cows as well. A trough was something you'd put food and water in, and animals come and ate out of it. It was something you could catch something in. It was a valley of sorts. Satan uses the valleys, the seasons of life, as an opportunity for us to be distracted. Now, I want to ask another question. Are the troughs, the valley, the low points in life bad? What do you guys think? Are those bad when we have times when we feel sad? Or maybe we're lonely? Or maybe we're just struggling? We're kind of spinning gears? We're depressed? Is that bad? We might feel like it is, but I would say it's a trick question. Not necessarily. You can take a look outside. It is spring, technically. It doesn't feel like it. It's cold. It's dark. It's getting darker as the night. It's windy. Sometimes we're uncomfortable. The grass and the trees still haven't been brought into new life yet. But this is a good thing. This is still the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice in it. Think of those seasons. I like to remember it this way. Through song, you might have known this singer from the, this maybe makes me seem like old soul, James Taylor sang about a song talking about winter, spring, summer, or fall. Those four seasons talk about the seasons that we have in life, right? We have seasons where we're on high, the greatest moments of our life, a birth of a child, a wedding, a birthday. Something really cool, a good concert maybe we've been to. Then there's some low seasons in life, right? Times that we don't want to remember anymore. A loved one dies. Someone's struggling. Someone's caught in an addiction and can't get out. Somebody had something very wrong happen to them. And during the year, we're somewhere in between in that season. Well, those low points, they're not bad, but there can be a place where the devil likes to roam because it's in the dark. Think about what happens in the trough periods of our life. We're sitting home alone, maybe in a room. Maybe it's dark, it's late at night. Our mind starts to wander. Maybe we start rehashing old sins that we just can't stop and forget about. We start to feel even convicted, where the devil likes to throw things that have already been forgiven back in our face. We think of past hurts from other people. We start to even make up things. We start to lie even to ourselves and think of words that we tell ourselves that simply aren't true. And we beat ourselves up to a point where we can't help but be clinically depressed. It happens to almost all of us, if not all of us, those seasons of life. And in those dark places, when we're sitting alone in the dark by ourselves, sin can creep in. These are the times where people can get the furthest or feel the furthest from Jesus. They'll turn to an antidote. They'll turn on a movie that they really aren't getting any benefit better in it from. They'll start to search on websites that would make anybody blush if they knew that you were on those. We start to search for things that bring a temporary healing. Some people will turn to drinking alcohol, and they take a good gift and they abuse it, and to a point where we're alcoholic, where we can't live without that thing. Some people will take even good things like Tylenol or ibuprofen and overdose on them just to feel no pain. Some people even turn to harder things like heroin or other drugs, even that you'd be surprised there, people are taking the next block down the road. And they're doing that in the low parts of their life just to feel. And what happens is the devil uses that time for us to even feel more alone. And it traps us. People will turn to even this word today, lust. There's an epidemic out there today. It's not just Playboy magazines anymore. It's very real and very dangerous websites that even, it's not just teenagers, it's children less than 10 years old are being bombarded with. They're talking about these in our school systems. They're coming home and they're being hidden from moms and dads. And it's not just that, it's more than lust tonight. In those trough periods, in those low parts of our life, the devil tries to give us another lie. A lot of us like to think of lust as purely a sexual thing. And of course, we learn from tonight's scripture that it's not even that. Jesus even said in the Sermon on the Mount that physically breaking a vow of chastity isn't enough. It's even doing it with your mind. Thinking about something that you shouldn't be is a sin in itself. And he uses a hyperbole, an exaggeration, to cut off your arm or get rid of your eye just to keep that from distracting you. Of course, we're not asking for people to hurt themselves like that. So what is lust if it's not just purely a physical thing? Well, I did a little bit of basic Google search. This is what it comes up with. It's not just that intense or unbridled physical desire. It can be a mental longing or a craving. It could be even an eagerness to be admired or an unsatiable search for pleasure. That's an interesting way to look at it. It's more than just physical, friends. Sometimes we lust over things that are temporary fixes in life. Sometimes that means for us that we are never having enough. It's not just that we want what maybe a neighbor has in a spouse, or it could be that we simply lust over a person's family or their home, or we covet their own possessions. Why can't I drive a car like that? I would love a Tesla. I don't really want that, by the way. See, it's more than that. It's an unsatiable craving for more, that we never have enough of what we have already. That's what drives lust. And it brings us back to that another word that we've been hearing over and over again. When we talk about pride, we talk about greed, we talk about gluttony, all those other sins, it comes back to being content. What we have right here is what God has given you. Can that be enough for us today? Because that's the meaning behind that second word that we can subdue Satan with. Chastity is, even seems like an outdated word that we don't even use anymore. What does chastity mean? Of course, it means to abstain from unlawful physical relation, but it's more than that. It's an overall purity in mind and of conduct. And it's an intention to seek after what is good, to have a personal integrity. So, friends, today, it's often said that integrity can be how you act when nobody's looking. When you're in those closed-door situations, God does see. How can we still witness and be a disciple for God in those moments? Because if we can be someone that believes in God, even in the troughs of our life, that He will bring us through those times, think of how much more we can be of service to our Lord in the high moments of life. To be then another light, an inspiration for the other many people that are struggling today. Let's give the people that aren't here in this church tonight a reason to believe in God, a reason to trust in His body of believers. Because when we do that, we silence Satan. And we show how Jesus is still alive, not just physically, but alive in you. Our goal for this Lent is to look more like Jesus in all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our words. And may that always be our goal, knowing that we'll never get to that point. But take comfort tonight. No matter how hard it can be to get out of those trough moments, how hard it is to be a follower, how hard it is to obey God's commandments, it's in those dark spaces, those lonely spaces, those spaces that we maybe are ashamed of being in. That's where our Lord Jesus loves to dwell. Our Lord is with you, not just in the highs, the spiritual highs of life, but He's there, right there in the pit. And He's going to be the one to bring you out. He's done it before, and He will again. So trust in Jesus in winter, spring, summer, and fall. And especially as you join us this next week as we enter Holy Week and we journey with Jesus, not just on the high of Palm Sunday, but through the night of His betrayal, the day of His crucifixion, and into that Easter morning. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your minds and hearts in one true faith into life everlasting. Amen.